When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Running. Columbia University telling the students at Camp City to get out by 2 p.m. today or be suspended. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, well, looks like Columbia's finally had enough. Students are going to have to sign statements. Leave by 2 p.m. and sign a statement. You'll comply with school rules through your graduation or be suspended. A lot of the students not willing to do that. Good riddance. Expel them. Harvard Harris has asked Americans this question. Do you think the legal prosecutions of Donald Trump are fair and unrelated to politics? Or do you think the Democrats today are engaged in lawfare, a campaign using the government and the legal system in biased ways to take out a political opponent? 57% of Americans believe the Democrats are engaged in lawfare using the legal system to take out a political opponent. 57% of Americans. Outside the margin of error on the question, by the way, more Americans, a majority of Americans, believe the Democrats are using the legal system to try to punish a political opponent. And the Democrats are doing everything they can to confirm that opinion. I like Donna Brazile. Donna Brazile is a friend of mine. I will defend my friendship with Donna Brazile. We disagree a lot on politics, but she is a family friend. She is just a dear lady, a prayer warrior for my wife, and she's wrong about her statement on ABC over the weekend. This is her with Sarah Isger on ABC.
The District Court of Appeal rendered its decision in February. Jack Smith said all along the special counsel back in December, go ahead, make the decision. And they're dragging their feet.
If this had been a normal case,
justice
delayed, on the merits docket for the next fall.
Is democracy denied? I mean, that is what's at stake.
Justice delayed is democracy. Listen, she's got to make this political point, but she's wrong. The Supreme Court doesn't jump into cases. It allows the process to work and always has. The Supreme Court is not treating Donald Trump like a special person, treating Donald Trump like every other American. Why? Because he is a private citizen. There's no reason for the Supreme Court to expedite this case except to help the Democrats at a time a majority of Americans believe Democrats are engaged in lawfare. If you want to ask me why Donald Trump's polling is going up, it's not just people dissatisfied with Joe Biden's economy. It's because Americans are viewing Donald Trump more and more sympathetic with this Alvin Bragg case and the others, that the system is out to get him because the system doesn't like him. At a time Americans believe the system is failing them, it makes Donald Trump look sympathetic to him. The Supreme Court, in fact, has sped up the case. As Sarah Isger was trying to convey to Donna Brazile in that clip, if this were an ordinary case, the Court of Appeals decision would not have been considered by the Supreme Court until next fall. Instead, they sped it up. But the Supreme Court only works so fast. They're not going to render a decision next week. It's not how this works at all. It's never been how this worked. And for the Democrats to insist that somehow this is the Supreme Court doing Donald Trump's bidding is not just not true, but it's also showing that they're elevating their partisan concerns above the American legal system, and they've become so transactional that if they don't get what they want, then somehow the Supreme Court's in the pocket. Judge Michael Luttig, one of those people broken by Donald Trump. Luttig was considered for the U.S. Supreme Court by George W. Bush, but George W. Bush thought he was too arrogant to be trusted with the power of a lifetime opinion or lifetime seat on the Supreme Court. This proves George W. Bush right. Here he is on MSNBC.
Allie, the Supreme Court has now fiddled while Rome has almost burned to the ground, all but trivializing the existential threat to America's democracy and the rule of law facing the country. America's democracy and the rule of law are the heart and soul of the nation. It's our democracy and rule of law that have made America the beacon of freedom for the world for almost 250 years. Donald Trump's attempt to overturn the 2020 presidential election did drive a stake through America's democracy and the rule of law. His efforts to overturn the election both disqualified him from the presidency under the 14th Amendment, and it rendered him subject to prosecution for his offenses against the United States. Yet, 3.5 years later, the former president has remained unapologetically defiant.
Donald Trump wasn't successful. The rule of law and the Constitution prevailed, Michael Luttig. Also, you say that he was disqualified under the 14th Amendment, but 9 members of the United States Supreme Court, all of them disagree with you. In your arrogance, just as George W. Bush said, you're disqualified from offering opinions. The fact that MSNBC is still willing to have this guy on after all their lectures about truth-telling and for him to continue to maintain this idea the 14th Amendment says something that the liberals on the Supreme Court says it doesn't, this is what MSNBC is being fed. MSNBC is engaging in essentially wishful assassination porn. They are really hoping someone puts a bullet in Donald Trump and all of their coverage towards Donald Trump. You understand their coverage and how untruthful it is and how it's designed by understanding these are people who want someone to assassinate Donald Trump. Having Michael Luttig in to continue to flap his gums about things that the Supreme Court's liberals have rejected and insist that they were wrong and that Donald Trump is somehow this existential threat to democracy and the rule of law. When the rule of law is working, it's just not going in the Democrats' favor, and that's why they're so upset about it. The Democrats don't care about the rule of law. They care about what they want, and they want Donald Trump in jail. They're not going to stop until they get him there, and they're angry with the liberals on the Supreme Court for not giving them what they want. In fact, it's gotten so much so that even George Steffi Stephanopoulos, the man who enabled a sexual predator Bill Clinton to become president and who never apologized for helping him, he's trying to do the whole lecturing America on nonsense.
Good morning and welcome to This Week. Until now, no American president had ever faced a criminal trial. No American president had ever faced a federal indictment for retaining and concealing classified documents. No American president had ever faced a federal indictment or a state indictment for trying to overturn an election or been named an unindicted co-conspirator in 2 other states for the same crime. No American president ever faced hundreds of millions of dollars in judgments for business fraud, defamation, and sexual abuse. Until now, no American presidential race had been more defined by what's happening in courtrooms than what's happening on the campaign trail. Until now. The scale of the abnormality is so staggering that it can actually become numbing. It's all too easy to fall into reflexive habits, to treat this as a normal campaign, where both sides embrace the rule of law, where both sides are dedicated to a debate based on facts and the peaceful transfer of power. But that is not what's happening this election year. Those bedrock tenets of our democracy are being tested in a way we haven't seen since the Civil War. It's a test for the candidates, for those of us in the media, and for all of us as citizens.
What I like about this monologue from George Stephanopoulos is how it's really predicated on Donald Trump is guilty. All these good liberals who love the rule of law, they're absolutely convinced Donald Trump is guilty. And so they have predicated their opinions and they predicated their shows and they predicated their coverage on the idea of Donald Trump. Of course, everybody knows he's guilty. Why can't they just get on to the execution? Why do we have to stand for the show trial when we want to see the execution? That's essentially where they all are. And what is the result? 57% of Americans, a clear majority of Americans, believe the Democrats have engaged in the use of the judicial system to punish a political opponent. And they don't even see it. They don't get it. They can't process it. And this is part of the bubble. If I'm really honest with you, if I tell you the thing that I know is going to get me hate mail from some friends, it's that this sort of stuff actually makes me want to see Donald Trump win in November. The staggering arrogance of the people who are convinced he's guilty and should be locked up, and they want to rush to judgment, they want to rush to justice, but the justice that they want has to be their justice set out under their rules. It makes me want Donald Trump to win in November because these people need to learn humility. And the only way they're going to learn humility, and let's be honest, they're not really going to learn it then, but the best way to try to get them to learn some humility is for Donald Trump to win. You may not like Donald Trump. You know I don't. But these people are worse. The ones who have convinced themselves that he's guilty and needs to go to jail, and if the system doesn't give them what they want when they want it now, then the system itself is broken. They have no faith in the rule of law. They have no faith in the people of the republic. They have no faith in the system. They have no faith in the Constitution. They have no faith in anything except themselves. They need humility. Donald Trump is not president of the United States today, and there was no coup. Donald Trump did not get what he wanted on January 6th. The system prevailed. If Donald Trump gets elected, there are people in the media who are convinced he'll never let go of power. And on January 20th, 2028, at noon, Donald Trump will cease being president, whether they believe it or not, whether Donald Trump believes it or not. The system will prevail. The system is strong, but these people don't have faith in it. And when you have George Stephanopoulos' monologue that the democracy is being tested, the institutions are being tested, the institutions keep winning. You know, the only institution in America that has truly failed is the media. The press in America is the only institution that has truly failed us in the last number of years. It is the major institution that has collapsed under its own arrogance. And they don't even realize it. Y'all, we're going to be fine. The country's going to be fine. The Constitution's going to be fine. Donald Trump's probably going to be found not guilty in this case, or at least get a hung jury. And the media will scream that the system has failed. Just think about this. The media always tells us to trust the jury and to trust the process and to trust the system of laws until it doesn't give them what they want, because they've become transactional. The American people have not become transactional. The media has become transactional. The media is the one that's done this. The Democrats don't trust a system that doesn't give them what they want. The Democrats don't trust a system that gives the other side a fighting shot. And the system, the media stacked against the Republicans. And yet the Republicans still have a shot at winning. And so the Democrats have convinced themselves that's why the system is broken. It really is remarkable that George Stephanopoulos felt the need to start his show at the same time the Harvard-Harris poll comes out and says a majority of Americans believe the Democrats are engaged in using the legal system to punish a political opponent. It all fits together perfectly, and you and I can see it, that the Democrats and the media can't tells you everything you need to know about why they really probably should lose in November. And maybe then some of them, at least, not all of them, a lot of them will burn America down. But some of them at least will maybe learn some sense of humility. They really need it.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Yeah, cooking. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I would love to have you, so long as you're relevant to what I'm talking about. Well, here's what I'm talking about right now. The Bloomberg has this story. A laid-off YouTube employee is down to his last paycheck. A former startup worker has to borrow money from his family to pay his mortgage. A veteran financial consultant can barely land an interview. They're all victims of a stallout in white-collar hiring across much of the U.S. Industries such as finance, technology, and media, all professional services, and like law and accounting, they've turned into a pocket of weakness in a robust labor market. With the national unemployment rate hovering near historic lows, almost 120,000 corporate positions have vanished from Chicago, Los Angeles, and San Francisco combined during the past year. A Bloomberg News analysis of government data found white-collar payrolls also declined in smaller hubs like Phoenix and Seattle. Even pandemic boom towns, Austin and Miami, are seeing growth in the segment of labor flatline. Nationally, payrolls for white-collar type jobs were up just 0.6% from a year ago in March, about a third of the overall pace of labor creation, according to data published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Wage growth for high-paid workers has also largely cooled from its peaks. Banks, consulting firms, and tech companies all went on hiring sprees at the height of the pandemic when interest rates were low. Easy access to credit and government support made it easier to expand. Many of those incentives have since faded, paving the way for layoffs. Citigroup, McKinsey, Tesla, among the high-profile employers slashing jobs. Here's the thing. This is Joe Biden's constituency, and they're losing their jobs in Joe Biden's economy. It does make you wonder if he's going to see a shift in support among white-collar employees, because they really, genuinely don't like his economy. It's not working for them. White-collar jobs are in decline. What's so interesting is that blue-collar jobs have been in a little bit of a decline in the last few months, but not nearly the steep decline of white-collar jobs. The professional class is getting hurt by Joe Biden's economy, and they're doubling down their support of Joe Biden, but his economy sucks for them more than for any other employment class. Kind of funny to watch this happen. Now, speaking of funny, a funny thing happened when Old Glory Bank set out to build a pro-America bank. They happened to build the best American bank. Old Glory Bank, my bank, by the way, created the finest online mobile banking experience there is. Old Glory Bank's app, it is fantastic. It's easy to use. You're wondering how you did that? Well, you can easily send and deposit checks from your phone. You can set up direct deposit on your phone. You can set up saving goals. You can use their cash-in feature on their app to find more than 88,000 retail locations across America. Now, keep in mind, just a couple months ago, that was 85,000. Going up to 88,000 retail locations across America, you can walk into the cashier, deposit your cash in your Old Glory Bank account, and their card manager feature is the best thing ever. If you misplace your debit card, turn it off on your app. When you find it, turn it back on. When you know something, you don't recognize a transaction, you can click on it, see a map of where you were so you know if it was legit. It puts incredible controls and security features right on your phone, right in your pocket. You go to Old Glory Bank for their values. You'll love Old Glory Bank for their app. Experience it yourself. OldGloryBank.com. Member FDIC, equal housing lender, and yes, I bank with Old Glory Bank too. You can too. OldGloryBank.com.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you text the word engage to 33777, you can get a ticket to the gathering in August. It'll be August 8th through 11th in Atlanta, Georgia. It is where we take our listeners from around the country, bring them together in person to hear from the thought leaders, the conservative movement. We got Brian Kemp and Doug Ducey coming for sure. We've reached out to Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, Rich McCormick, Congressman from Georgia. We're inviting Ron DeSantis and Kim Reynolds, the Governor of Iowa, and a lot more. Although, you know, we're running into this year. We moved it to get Dave McCormick because normally we'd have it the next week, but that's his birthday. We really want to get him from Pennsylvania, so we moved it the week before. Now we're finding out state fairs everywhere interfering with getting people there. But we'll have a great group of people. Great discussions, and looking forward to having people in person in Atlanta. Text the word ENGAGE to 33777, and you can get a ticket to come. Now, let me go to Pierce's phone call here. Pierce, welcome to the Eric Erickson Show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Eric?
Great.
Hey, you know, I was just listening to your comment a few minutes ago about the loss of white-collar jobs. And this weekend, and I really think it was last night, I was just flipping through pages and came across a Fox News, and I think it was Fox News Business article, that more and more Gen Zers are not going to college. They're starting to see a drop in college enrollments and an increase in the tech school, two-year tech certificates for, you know, blue-collar jobs, because they feel like the blue-collar jobs are not going to go away. And it really shows kind of a correlation of what you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so there's this massive concern about AI. I'm not as concerned with artificial intelligence, I think, as a lot of people are. There are lots of people who are just convinced that it's going to be this bad thing.
Right.
Y'all, we can't even get our stupid phone app to do what we want it to do half the time. So I'm not convinced that AI is that big. But let's say AI is big. Let's say that you don't need as many bankers because the computers can do it for you, or you don't need as many lawyers because the AI can write the brief. The AI cannot come fix your plumbing, and the AI cannot come fix your wiring in your house. The AI is not going to fix your vehicle, so you're still going to need those jobs. AI is killing the white-collar jobs.
Yes, and that's, you know, and that's what, that was the context of the article, was that part of it was because of the AI advancing so quickly, they're realizing that these white collar jobs, you may not be able to complete and do away with them. However, it will eliminate those jobs, and they feel it's not worth investing the time and money to get a 4-year degree or even higher
with a massive amount of debt.
And then they can come out of a 2-year school and pay like 10 grand for 2 years and come out with a career that right off the bat, I mean, they're going to start, you know, high five figure.
Yeah.
And then I've got a grandson, to be honest with you. I mean, he's not college material, but he's 25 years old and he's climbing cell towers, working on cell towers and making really good.
Yeah, look, I got a nephew who's a lineman who's doing fantastic in his 20s. Didn't go to college. He's a lineman, went to lineman school, and is doing fantastic. I know a guy, Pierce, who lives near me. He's been a plumber now for about a decade, and he's making mid-six figures because he bought the plumbing company from the old owner. He's got a number of plumbers under him, and he does plumber training and certification. And he's making, I mean, I want to say last time we talked, it was over $400 a year running this business and everything with it.
And another area that's really hurting and will be very soon, because I'm a baby boomer and a lot of the drivers, truck drivers, are starting to age out and retire. Mm-hmm. And there's getting to be a real need for commercial truck drivers. And this job is starting to pay like really, really good money.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere, I want to say the Wall Street Journal with what are the careers where you're most rapidly to jump into six figures, and truck driving is in like the top five?
Yep, it is. And it's going to be necessary because, You can't get a robot to drive a truck and then take the stuff off the back of it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, let me let you go there, Pierre, with the background noise starting up. Thank you for that. And you're right. You're absolutely right. You don't need a college degree. And what's so interesting to me, though, are how many jobs are premised on having a college degree. You got to have a college. It doesn't matter what it's in, but you got to have a college degree to apply for a lot of jobs out there. And I suspect we're going to start seeing that trend go away as things go on. Now, speaking of colleges, I want to play for you some audio here. Columbia University is telling students you got to give up Tent City by 2 p.m. today or you're going to get suspended from campus. You've also got to sign a statement saying that you will agree to adhere to Columbia's rules moving forward. Now, my buddy Matthew Foldy's put out a picture that was on Instagram from this movement where kids are signing in big red Sharpie saying no or Palestine will be free or too long didn't read, Palestine will be free, stuff like this. Be funny about it. They're about to get disciplined by Columbia. Tim Kaine was on MSNBC. No. He's on Meet the Press on Sunday. He's the Democratic senator of Virginia trying to talk about what's going on these college campuses. Listen to this.
Giving people the latitude to do what they ought to be able to do and also trying to curb unacceptable behavior is tough. Here's a role that I think the president can play. We know of places where maybe these discussions are not being done the way they should be. They're not being done civilly. But there's also some universities that I think are doing this right. And one of the things that I think it might be important for the president or maybe the education secretary, Secretary Cardona, to do is hold up some examples of colleges in the country. And I think there are a number of them where discussions about difficult topics like Israel and Gaza are happening, but happening in a way that really can be a model where people can express their points of view on tough issues, but not feel intimidated or harassed because of the positions they hold. So I think the president can use the bully pulpit to kind of hold up some good examples. And I would hope that he and other members of the administration might do that.
You can think that, and good for you being an optimist there, Tim Kaine, except the problem is that Joe Biden needs these people to win the election. So he's not going to hold up some of these universities for having this dialogue. He needs the votes of these anti-Semites on college campuses. He doesn't want to rock the boat on that. He doesn't want to show leadership on that. Here's John Fetterman on News Nation talking about this stuff.
So when President Biden was talking about these protests, he did a little both sidesing. He said the anti-Semitism of the protesters is bad, but everybody needs to understand about the humanitarian plight in Gaza, too. What tone do you think he should be taking? What's the right answer when talking about these issues?
Well, I'm not going to give the president any advice or anyone, only on fashion. But I will say this is that it's very clear that there is a very germ of anti-Semitism in all of these protests, you know, and then sometimes it flares up. And again, including one of the leaders in Colombia said some just awful things and talking about, well, they're lucky that I'm not killing Zionists and things like that. And then he defended himself by saying, well, those were taken out of context. And I'm like, well, that's very similar to the way the college presidents, like same kind of language and those kind of monocultures that create situations and that replicates. And now it's not a surprise that when you kind of seeing this manifest itself in a campus like this. Now, of course, it's a great American value to protest, but I don't believe living in a pup tent for Hamas is really helpful.
That's John Fetterman. Boy, this guy continues to surprise and delight, doesn't he? Now, one more. This is a Bruce Robbins. He's a professor at Columbia University, gaslighting us on CNN. CNN, a network that claims to be about truth, claims to be opposed to misinformation and disinformation. Listen to this conversation.
Which I have to correct. People in the encampment, what we call the encampment, that's the protesters at Columbia, they have not shouted out slogans, chanted slogans in support of Hamas or the wanton destruction of civilian lives on October 7th. That is simply not the fact. It's a little upsetting, I think, to everybody at Columbia that the mainstream media, I mean, as well as the politicians, have confused things that are chanted outside Columbia's gates with things that the Columbia protesters are saying. Because, I mean, I've spent time in the encampment. I haven't heard anything even remotely like that. There are things I'm sure that all three of us would have some trouble with that are being chanted outside the gates. Columbia is not letting those people in.
Columbia, he says, is not letting those people in. That's what he says. Columbia is not letting those people in. Except Columbia is doing just that. Columbia students inside the encampment are actually engaged in anti-Semitism, and he can deny it all he wants. But the fact of the matter is that at Columbia, they have engaged in a level of pretty strong anti-Semitism. They have done these chants. They have called on, for example, Gaza to be free from river to sea, which is a pretty explicit call for genocide of the Jews. They have, in fact, inside the camp called explicitly the Jews are Nazis. They have done all of these things. At some point, you got to stop trying to make excuses for these kids. And for a level of gaslighting by this professor claiming this sort of stuff isn't happening. I want to talk about a picture. Now, he said they're not chanting this stuff. The fact is they have been chanting this stuff. But not only have they been chanting this stuff, they've also been pretty explicit in signs that they've held inside this encampment. And one of these signs in particular I talked about the other day, I went and found the picture of it. And it's worth seeing this picture. This picture is on a tent. Here's what this tent says. This is what the sign on the tent says. A message to the scum of nations and pigs of the earth. Paradise lies in the shadow of swords. Glory to he who makes the occupier taste bitterness. That is a Hamas message. It is very visibly inside the tent encampment, inside Columbia. And this professor says these sorts of things don't exist. The professor says these sort of things don't exist. It does. It's not real. It's not true. Here's a picture of it for the world to see inside this encampment. The professor is lying. The professor is gaslighting. Fareed Zakaria on his program did not call the guy out. Maybe he doesn't know, but this is from inside Tent City at Columbia, a message to the scum of nations and pigs of the earth. Paradise lies in the shadow of swords. Glory to he who makes the occupier taste bitterness. That is an explicit saying of Hamas calling for death of the Jews, taped to a tent inside the encampment. And this professor acts like he's clueless. These people are anti-Semites. These people deserve to be expelled. And at least Columbia has finally seen the light on punishing the people who refuse to comply with their efforts to clear this from their campus. They should have done it a lot sooner, though. At least they're doing it now. Y'all, this weekend, I had to send 8 packages to program directors. My buddy Joe over in Louisiana gets one. He'll be surprised, among others. And I used stamps.com because it saved me money. I was able to get into their interface and find I didn't need the overnight fast options. I could get everything to them within 2 days with a cheap option by UPS. And I saved up to 89% off UPS. I sent 8 packages. I printed the labels, put them on the boxes. And this time I actually dropped them off. Normally I'd arrange pickup, but it was on the weekend. You can do the same with stamps.com. You can save money. You can arrange pickup at your office so you never have to go stand in line. You go to stamps.com, you click the microphone, you put in Eric, E-R-I-C-K. You'll get a free digital scale, you'll get some free postage, and you don't have a long-term commitment to sign. You don't have a contract to sign. You can cancel at any time, but you save money with stamps.com. You can print your labels, you can get shipping supplies from stamps.com delivered to your office. It just works. I've got some boxes. I was giving some radio show swag to people, to program directors who put me on from Sacramento to Austin to Lafayette and elsewhere, and had some notes to go, and Stamps.com made it easy. I got the packages boxed up. I could print my labels, and normally they'd come to me. I just dropped them off because it was the weekend. There was no line, but you can avoid the line at Stamps.com and save money. Stamps.com, click on the microphone, put in Eric, E-R-I-C-K, get shipping and saving today.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Greetings and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Let's see. I just got a email. Just heard your caller AI taking away white collar jobs. Attest to this personally. Use ChatGPT on a daily basis as an engineer. It's increased my productivity. Use it as an assistant. Take the work completed to the ChatGPT who asked me to call it assistant. I'll review the work and either send it back to assistants or if no comments, use it in my calculations. Look at that. Using AI more and more. Several friends of mine have talked about how they've started using AI. So I will, here's your ridiculousness of the day. So I bought a golf thing for my golf clubs. It's called Arcos. It's what the PGA uses. And so you put a little device on each of your clubs and it can help you figure out your swing and how you're holding your club and all sorts of stuff with the ball and the position. It uses GPS. And now it's got AI built in that supposedly helps you. We'll see. I still think AI is not all it's cracked up to be. Maybe it'll improve. I'm not necessarily going to hold my breath on that, but I'll see. I'm intrigued to see where AI goes. I do kind of think, though, that there are a lot of people out there thinking, oh, we need AI. We need AI. Let's put in AI. And they don't really know what the AI means per se. It's just it's gotten to be one of those buzzy words. Therefore, we need to embrace the buzziness of it. And there are a whole lot of people and businesses out there who, whatever it is, the buzzy that they want it. I don't think I ever have to worry about AI replacing me. One part, because it's never going to get my voice right. And two, nobody ever knows. I don't even know what I'm going to say until the microphone comes on. You people surely don't. Comes up all the time. Why do you listen to the show? Because, good Lord, we have no idea what Erickson's going to say. It keeps you tuning in. I don't even know what I'm going to say till the moment I open my mouth. Sort of the brilliant things. I had this conversation with some friends of mine the other night. I really, truly did believe that anybody on planet Earth could just sit down and get behind a microphone and talk for 3 hours nonstop about whatever. And the longer I've done this, the more I realize, I guess it is my spiritual gift. It may not be in scripture, but there, but it's my annoying gift, I guess. But it's the only time of the day I talk. I got a wife and two teenagers at home. I don't get a chance to talk when I go home. So here, you get everything. Now, speaking of, you never know what I'm going to say. Omaha Steaks, you know, one of the things you will get with Omaha Steaks is you'll know what you're getting in their subscription packs because they allow you to pick it. You can build, they've got some recommended subscription packs, and this is new from Omaha Steaks. They've never done this before. You go to omahasteaks.com/Eric today, you can get the subscription pack from Omaha Steaks, and you can set the frequency, and you get free burgers for life of the subscription. And you also, every third order, you get a gift, $19.99 or more, from Omaha Steaks to thank you for using their subscription service. It's a great deal. OmahaSteaks.com/Eric. Minimum order required. You can build a box or you can use one of the recommendations. Remember, they've got ready-made main courses and sides and desserts. So you're not just getting steak or chicken or pork or seafood, although that's all great. You can get stuff that's already been cooked and frozen, so you just pop it in the oven and heat it up for one of those nights where you're overwhelmed, the kids have a lot of homework, exam season's coming up for schools, graduation, all that. Your busy life, Omaha Steaks can take care of you. OmahaSteaks.com/Eric. You can cancel at any time without penalties. Well, OmahaSteaks.com/Eric.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.